Banyan, but Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. with Meredith Locker. Back to you on CalBanyan.com. If you're watching this anywhere except CalBanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video is all the extra texts, tips, links, and sometimes product specials that you want to take a look at to add full richness to your experience. How you doing, Meredith?
I am doing so great, Cal. Thanks for asking.
Man, I tell you, we're just having so much fun. It's summer in sunny California. I'm driving around with my top down, have my Hypnosis Pro hat on, just looking so cool. Cool. So let's see. Oh, I got some announcements real quick here. Let's see. I'm trying to get through them in record time. Let's see. Check all the weekly specials and other specials that we have on CalBanyan.com, Banyan Hypnosis Mall, and Hypnosis, etc. They change from week to week, and we have some specials that are not weekly that just end without notice, like, for example, the Economic Stimulus Package. Make sure you check out Jerry Valley Stage Hypnosis Seminar coming up in Las Vegas. And, of course, I have my two courses that are coming up in July and October, the NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification course, the super course. Why is it super course, people ask me? Because it's got 5-path and 7-path. That's why. Our hypnospace, go there. Right now, we're doing this. You might be watching the recorded version, but we do this live and stream it over to our members on our Hypnospace, and it continues to grow. One of our most popular groups over there is Hypnosis Scripts, working with children, all this kinds of stuff. You get a blog, just join in on the community. Are you open to additional sources of income? Would you like to be making more money? Would you like to add a product or service and have residual income in addition to the money you make seeing clients? Well, all you got to do is email myself or Meredith, and we'll get you the information. Meredith, give them your email address.
Meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com.
And I'm Cal Banyan at hypnosiscenter.com. That's B-A-N-Y-A-N. And what we're going to do is myself and Meredith will give you a call personally, explain how it works. You're going to find that it's really a health and wellness program. If people need to gain weight, they'll gain weight. If they need more energy, they'll have more energy. If they want to lose weight, they can lose weight. I've lost 27 pounds on the program. I have more energy than ever before. We'll check it out, and we'll be in partnership. We'll be in business together. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's see. NGH Convention is coming 7th, 8th, and 9th of August. Be there. On Friday, I'm doing two workshops. One is an overview of 5-Path. It's a free one-hour workshop. And also on Friday afternoon, I'm going to be doing a workshop explaining all about secondary gain. You don't have to be a 5-Pather to benefit from this workshop. You just need to be seeing clients. I'm going to show you how you can help clients succeed when everything else you've done has failed. And, of course, the 3 days, the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday before the convention, I'm now doing the first ever 7-Path Teacher Certification course. It is going to be the buzz of the convention. So there's going to be some marvelous personal transformations happening in the course. It's going to be just exciting as can be. Also, join the hypnotistconvention.ning.com. It's a special community set up for people who are interested in knowing more about the NGH convention. And I hope you guys are checking out our new store on eBay. I'm going to put a link down there. You can get some special rates on some of the things we're clearing out and some other stuff. We really don't know what we're going to do with it yet, but we're starting to move some products that... for example, we just moved a whole bunch of training materials that we had in VHS. If you still have a VCR, heck, use your VCR. Save a lot of money on some of the products that we're not producing that way anymore. And who knows what else we'll do with that store. Might get a special deal here and there. All right, one last thing I want to do. As I've said in my previous episodes, Elsom Eldridge was really one of the masterminds in setting up the NGH convention. What he does to help the people who are thinking about going to the pre and post hypnosis workshops, what he does is he does like this short half hour, I don't exactly remember, interview seminar on the phone, a teleseminar, and I'm going to put a link down there. We can get all the information, the phone number, the full schedule. I'm going to give you some ideas of what's coming up next week or this week, and that is Saturday, June 27th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Disc for Hypnosis with Lee Peltier, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Pain Management Certification with William C. Smith, Thursday, July 2nd, Clutter to Clarity, Hypno Clutter with Beverly Taylor, and then the week after that, we've got a couple more things coming up. And Thursday, July 9th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Proven Depth Model for Weight Loss Success with Tom Nicoli. And Friday, July 10th, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Color and Energy Management with Catherine Poole. After that, we've also got one, Helping People Heal Themselves with Hypnosis with David Quigley. And the list goes on and on. We've got a link to the entire list down below. All right. Meredith, what do you got for me today?
Oh, gosh. We have so many questions, Cal. We've got the live streaming going on through ourhypnospace.com. Thank you to all of you that are tuning in right now, watching us record this episode as we speak. And so they're able to post questions in real time, and it's really fun. And so I'm going to get to one of those questions in a minute, and then we're going to answer some other questions that different viewers have sent in to us. But first, I want to mention just real quickly a book that I found. Sometimes I work with kids, and sometimes I work with teenagers, and I find that oftentimes when I work with the kids and the teenagers, it's really more the parents that need help. And so certainly I recommend that they come through my five path system as well. They come through a five path process at the same time, or even just after I work with their child. But I found a book that I feel like really is helpful. It's very clearly written, and I've been recommending it to the parents of the kids that I work with. So I wanted to mention it to you, and it's here, right here. And I have no link at all with this book. It's just I think that it really has a concise message, and my parents have been benefiting by it a great deal. And it's called Parenting with Love and Logic, and it's written by Foster Klein, MD, and Jim Fay. And Jim Fay went on to do another one, When Kids Leave You Speechless, and that's written by Jim Fay and Charles Fay, PhD, and it's just, it goes through a series of different things, what kids might say and how you might want to handle that in a way that would be most beneficial for them, most educational, and would keep the drama down to a minimum, which is what we all want for the most part, except for you, Cal, right? Anyway, you ready to get on with some questions, Cal?
I'm ready to rock. I want to mention a couple of things. I typed into our text down here, our text stream that's going on with our Hypnospace, and said, hey, if you've got a website you want me to mention on the program, type it in. And two have just come up, and they both belong to Celeste Hackett. You guys remember her, and she's done so many cool, great podcasts with me in the past. And she's got familyfirsthypnosis.com. That's for sessions. And also, she's a C5, Certified Professional Hypnosis Instructor. She can teach my courses in Texas. And the other website for information about her courses are Dallas Hypnosis Career Training. If there's any more, we just got another one typed in. It's because they scroll off the screen, so they might have put them in and scrolled off my screen. But I see hypnose-behandling.dk. Now that's hypnose-behandling.dk, and that is Pia Gemmer's website for Denmark. Okay, that's it. Fire some questions at me.
Beautiful. Well, nice segue there, Cal, because Pia has a question. She wants to know, what do you do when a certain doctor doesn't want to sign a referral for a particular client? How do you handle that?
There's two ways you can handle it that I've had a lot of luck with. One is go back, return to the doctor with another slip of paper that says, would you be willing to say that it is not contraindicated? Contraindicated. Now, what does that mean? There's a difference as far as level of responsibility on the physician's part, and that is, if they say, I'm referring this client to you, they're taking on a higher level of responsibility for what you do than if they just write down, hypnosis is not contraindicated, so it should be okay. And so they're not really taking any as high a level of responsibility. And gosh, any doctor should realize that, hypnosis doesn't. As I'm saying that, I'm thinking, the problem with doctors is mostly they have the same fears and misconceptions about hypnosis as the general public. I mean, being trained in hypnosis is not a part of medical school. But maybe you can educate them a little bit and get at least a statement of not contraindicated. Now, the other thing you can do is we should be developing relationships with physicians, counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists in our area. And then when one physician won't make the referral, then you can send your potential client to a physician that would make the referral if you live in an area where a referral is required. And if you live in one of the states or in a country where it's very difficult to practice, I recommend you get in touch with the National Health Freedom Organization, and they can really help you from a grassroots level get in contact with the people in your area and change the laws where you're at. It can be done. It's being done in many states and in the United States, making it more liberalized with regard to the person's freedom. I mean, you have a right to choose who you seek services from. So get in touch with those guys. I'll put a link down below. Next.
All right.
You want to add anything to that, Meredith?
No, I think you covered it exactly what I would have said, Cal. Thank you.
You rock.
All right. Well, we've got a question from our friend Peretz in Israel. He wants to know, if a person has seen a rapid induction done previously, how could it surprise him or her? Okay, so if they've already seen it done, how could it possibly work when you go to try to use it the next time? And if it doesn't work, then how do you bypass the critical factor, yet being effective enough to cause trance?
Okay, we talked about this a few episodes back, and that there's rapid inductions and instantaneous inductions, and different people in the profession have different definitions of what it is. And for me, a rapid induction is like the Elman-Banyan induction, which is my updated version of the old Elman induction, and that's going to take 4 minutes or so, 2 to 4 minutes to perform that induction. And that's, in the world of hypnosis, that's a rapid induction. And then there's instantaneous inductions. And instantaneous inductions cause a person to instantly go into a deep state of hypnosis. And probably what I'm best known for in that realm is the 8-word induction. And it was funny, the other night I'm not a Facebook guy very much, but I'm kind of learning how to do that because people keep inviting me to be their friend on Facebook and stuff like that. And I was on there. I went to one of the hypnosis groups. I just looked to see what the biggest group was. And they were talking about my 8-word induction. And I'll put a link to my 8-word induction right down there under this video, and you can go check it out. But in these instantaneous inductions, one of the ways they do it is by startling or a rapid redirection of attention, to put it nicely, of the individual you get them involved in a task. And in the 8-word induction, we have them pressed down on the hand. We're going to pull the hand out. That startles them. And the theory is that for about a second and a half, some very, very short period of time, the startling has caused the critical factor or critical function of the mind to be bypassed. And for a short period of time, they are highly suggestible. And then we will get in one word. And the word that we use most is the word sleep. Now, if you use the word sleep, you should always tell your client, in like your pre-talk, that whenever you use the word sleep in hypnosis, you don't mean sleep, but to go deeply relaxed with your eyes closed as if you were asleep. Now, so there you are. Pull your hand out from underneath the person's hand. They're pressing down on your hand. And without notice, and it shocks them. And for just a little, there's stuff happening faster than the conscious mind can process this. You can get that word sleep in there. And then you have to instantly follow that up with some deepening, or they'll instantly emerge. Okay. So What if they've seen that and they know you're going to do it? Doesn't make any difference. It will still work because they never know exactly when you're going to pull your hand out. Also, like, you can vary it a little bit. Like, I use the 8-word induction in more than 90% of the sessions I do. And what I will do is, it depends on the personality of the client. You know, the first session, I'll say, would you like to do hypnosis with me now? And they say yes, and I get permission to touch your hand, the arm, shoulder, maybe even their forehead. And then I'm pressing my hand, pull the hand out, say, sleep, go loose, limp, and relax. A little bit of deepening patter, and then a 1-5 count. Then if it's a first session, I'm going to do some covert testing to ensure the depth of hypnosis. Now, the next session, if the person is a person that's just, you know, they're like, man, they're just ready to go. I mean, they go, hey, let's, you know, would you like to do some hypnosis with me now? And they say, yeah. They plop in the chair, and they're just so ready. And I say, well, you know what we're going to do. Press on my hand, close your eyes, and boom, just pop them right in. But if I think they need a little bit more than that, if they need a little bit more kind of startle effect, then what I'll do is, as they're pressing on my hand, I will either rush the pulling out of my hand or make it stay a little bit longer. So like if I go press on my hand, close your eyes, sleep, go loose, limp, and relaxed. You see, that just adding 2-3 seconds, just all of a sudden they're wondering, when's it going to happen? And you do it. Or I'll go, good, press on my hand, close your eyes, sleep, and rush it, and that'll cause them to be startled also. Now, a third thing I can do to make sure that startle effect is there is I'll just add some stuff. I'll go like, okay, press on my hand, close your eyes, press, close. And I might touch them on the forehead, then touch them on the hand, press, close, press, sleep. So I can just add a little something to stretch it out, and they never know exactly when it's coming. Get that little startle response, get that word in there, deepen them out, and get on with the session. So, and I think Peretz is our number one fan in Israel. Hey, if you're watching this in Israel and you're not Peretz, send us a comment down below. We love comments. All right, what else you got for me? Do you want to add anything to that, Meredith?
Nope, you got it. Well, you know, I will add one thing. I had seen in class you do the 8-word induction, and I had practiced doing it on others, and I had had people practice doing it on me in class. And then when we did the informing soul technique, you actually used it on me, and it absolutely worked for me. There was, you know, just to kind of speak as somebody who's had all of that experience and still had it work, it does work. So there you go.
Thank you for the testimonial.
You're welcome. So Peretz has one more question, so we're going to get to that. If after having neutralized the ISC, which is the initial sensitizing event, can a subsequent identical but more intense traumatic incident cause a relapse of the initial condition?
Well, when people say, is it possible? I say, well, you know, I guess just by anything's possible. It's really hard to know. So let's, did this person give you any idea about a particular example of an issue that they might be talking about?
No, he didn't.
Okay. You know, I would say yes, it's possible, because what's happened, you know, in the subconscious mind, which our habits and emotions really are, and our long, you know, that hard drive that really records everything that we have experienced, there's always going to be a propensity. It's like when you've done this behavior over and over and over again, it's like a well-worn path. And so you become kind of prone to that kind of issue, sensitive to that kind of issue. And I suppose that if something happened after you've neutralized the ISE, initial sensitizing event, the first event that started the problem, and all SSEs, subsequent sensitizing events, which reinforced the problem, and you've really neutralized it, gone through the other work that you can do, like phase 3 and 4, working with any anger or guilt, and really gotten rid of all the connections to that issue, that could some later on in their life have them have an event happen that goes back? And I would say yes, because they kind of have that well-worn path in the nervous system, in the brain, in the subconscious mind that would cause them to be more readily likely to go back into that issue, especially if there's any secondary gain. Now, there's almost always some secondary gain. Back to that topic of secondary gain from last week. Secondary gain is anything that's going on now or now that would either reinforce or demand the old behavior. And secondary gain is really kind of a psychological term that has to do with when we have an issue come up in our life, a problem, it's caused by something. And if you can neutralize that, some people don't want to give up that old behavior, that old problem, because if they do, they lose something now. For example, let's say someone had back pain because of an accident or trauma or whatever. When that is removed either through psychological, medical, or hypnosis techniques, if they're receiving Social Security payments or disability payments or whatever because of that pain, or maybe they're getting out of having to do a job that they've never really cared for, if they get rid of that pain, they lose money, they have to go back to this job, and that's called secondary gain. Holding on to the pain, they gain something. They get to keep the money, they get to avoid the job. And so if there's secondary gain, that particularly compounds the problem also. Good. Anything you want to add to that, Meredith?
No, actually, you covered that great, and I actually want to save a little bit of time for this next question. So we've got one more, and we've got just enough time to cover it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. We are so international, Cal. It's amazing. I just love the fact that people are tuning in and watching our podcast from all over the world. And this question is from Paul, and Paul is in Namibia, Africa.
Ooh.
Can you say safari? He probably doesn't safari all the time. Apparently, he's doing 5-path. So what he wants to know is, how do you deal with the highly analytical clients? He's talking about with age regression, and he's talking about that he knows he's gotten somnambulism. He's tested for it, and covertly, and he knows that he's gotten it, and he's able to bring up for them that feeling that is inside that has everything to do with why they're there. But once he goes to regress, they're kind of like, I got nothing. How do you deal with that, Cal?
Okay, yeah. This person is assuming that, have I got this right, that the person is thinking that the conscious mind is interfering?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things we've got to remember is that when you are in hypnosis, you're not unconscious. When you're in hypnosis, all three levels, the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, the unconscious mind, are still working. So don't expect the person to become unconscious. What you're describing is really lack of compliance. And the lack of compliance can happen for a number of different reasons. One is fear. They just are trying to avoid going back. I mean, if they're really in somnambulism, you've really done the testing, then what you have here is a fear of going back. It could be fear of embarrassment. It could be a fear of reliving the event. This kind of thing. Or it could be they don't understand the suggestion. Just explain it to them. Make sure they understand the suggestion. Now, if they understand the suggestion and I have somnambulism and they don't go back, then I'm going to have the talk with them, which is basically I tell the person, and they're still in hypnosis, I don't emerge them. I say, look, I believe I can help you. But in order for me to help you, you need to follow my instructions. In a moment, I'm going to do this again. But first, you need to decide if you're going to follow my instructions. And with what I'm doing is I'm letting them know that I'm not, I can't make them do this. So I say to them, look, I believe I can help you, but in order for me to help you, you need to follow my instructions. And so you need to decide right here, right now, if you're going to follow my instructions. If you're not going to follow my instructions, we're done. There's nothing I can do to help you. But if you are going to follow my instructions, we can continue. Decide. And have that person decide right then if you're going to go on further. Because it's not really conscious interference by not bypassing the conscious mind. The conscious mind is always there. It's a matter of either they don't understand, they're not deep enough, or they're not compliant. And if they are deep enough, as you said, you tested for somnambulism, and if you took the time to explain it to them, if they don't go the first time, say, make sure you understand. In a moment, I'm going to count from three back to one. When I go back to one, I want you to follow that feeling back to an earlier time you felt that way. Is that okay with you? Yes. Good. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. And then if they go, nothing's happening, then I would say, look, I'd really like to help you. I believe I can help you, but you must follow my instructions. Decide. And then I would move on. Now, I got to knock on some wood here. That approach has worked for me every single time. When I kind of lay down the ultimatum like that, they'll go back. But if they don't go back, then we're done. I just can't help them. But so far, everybody has. So be firm. Be tough, a little tough love here, and it should work for you. Can't guarantee that it will. I mean, you got to really do it right. And once you say decide, you need to not say anything, because if you say something before they decide, you and your client have lost. You got to be firm here. You say, you've got to decide if you're going to follow my instructions so that I can help you. Decide. And so far, everybody's decided yes. If they decided no, I would say, good, open your eyes. We're done. And let them go on to someone else. Anything you want to add to that, Meredith?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest mistake I hear that people make when they give the talk is that they go on and on, maybe get a little nervous with that, feeling like it's a confrontational conversation, and a lot of people don't like that kind of experience. And so a lot of, you know, hypnotists and hypnotherapists will tend to kind of draw that out and do a lot of explaining and a lot of, you know, really kind of pointing out more of what they're doing wrong. And it's really important to keep it very succinct, very simple, and then wait for them to give you an answer.
Perfect. Okay, how are we doing on time?
It's time to wrap it up, Cal.
Oh, I have a little message I want to send out here. If you're in Cuba and you're watching this, I want you to email me, because I've been trying to break through to Cuba for a long, long time. I have this little map, and it tells me everybody that, you know, different locations where people are visiting the website. And Cuba has, I don't get any visitors from Cuba. I know Cuba's locked down, but I think you college professors, I know you have a hypnosis organization. I know you're sneaking me in somehow. Email me at calbanion@hypnosiscenter.com, and I won't tell anybody, but I'd love to come to Cuba. What a great, fun place to go. And pretty soon it's all going to change, and I want to be there while still those old cars are driving around, and it's the way it's been for the last 50 years. It's going to be cool. All right, that's it. Give them your website.
My website is yourpathhypnosis.com.
Beautiful. This is Cal Banion, Hypnosis, etc., program, and I'm all mixed up still thinking about Cuba. Hypnosis.org, hypnosiscenter.com, our hypnospace, so you can be part of the community. That's it. Cal Banion signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banion and Cal Banion's Banion Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.